Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And your phone calls today at 1-800-229-3000. This is a great day for a new life.
I really appreciate your show. It's been a big blessing to me.
I have two teenage boys. Maybe for a couple weeks it'll be okay, and then all of a sudden we slip up again.
Whoa. Can you translate what all of a sudden means?
After I sobered up, I wasn't numb enough to drown out what was aggravating me with my mother. Okay.
That's well put, by the way.
In my heart, I don't think that it's important enough to tell her.
Well, if it's not important enough to tell her, are you sure it was important enough to divorce?
You know, sometimes we only think there's two options.
Is that because you were clueless in that time?
You know, that is a very good possibility.
This is one of the prices of boundaries.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and so glad that you're with us. And when I say us, I'm talking about Dr. Henry Cloud. Hey, Henry.
Hey, Stevie.
And Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Steve.
And all of you folks, and we've got some folks hanging on the line. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. I want to mention that if you're in the L.A. area, tune in to KNBC Channel 4 this Wednesday, November the 16th at 5 or 11, and you'll see a feature on Every Man's Battle. We'll post the link here, but we're really excited about that. Also, our Focus Friday program this Friday is on boundaries. Henry and John have written, would you call it the seminal work? Is that appropriate to say, do you think? The seminal work on boundaries?
I don't know. We wrote a book. I know that.
You wrote a book about it? And you don't know if it's the papers from a Seminole tree or whatever. But anyway, it's a wonderful book, and everybody in the Christian world and non-Christian also needs to read that book. And you can get it and so many other resources, including Dr. Hubbard's book, The Secrets Women Keep, The Secrets Young Women Keep, all of that at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, if there's nothing on your minds, gentle people there at the other end of the line, I think I'll go right to the phones and...
See, we could come up with things to ask you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How about, what is the most burning issue in your heart right now that you wish everybody that listens would get? And if I could do a drum roll, I would.
Okay, all right. That... whatever the obsession in your mind or the compulsion that you're performing, there is hope. You don't have to continue the same way, and there is freedom, and there's a life beyond anything you could ever imagine. And my big thing this past year, that life is a missional life. It is not a life of where you feel better about yourself or you have these really healthy family relationships. You find a mission, you get on mission, and that leads you to what I call the blessed life. But first, you have to decide that you want things to be different and you want things to be better. That is my most burning passion right there. Here it is.
Awesome. Now we can go to the phones.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to Dorothy. We were going to take her on another program, but we just didn't get to do it. Dorothy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thanks for being here with us. How could we help you today?
You know, I'm calling really just to figure out, this is my question, how do I manage the sadness, the emotional sadness that I seem to be feeling after a breakup? And it doesn't seem to be getting any better, really.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't. It really doesn't. I'm not going backwards. That
how long have you? How long have you been? Were you with this person?
7 years.
Oh wow! And how long have you been broken up?
A year.
1 year. Okay. And you just can't get over him.
Well, what happened? He came to see me there, and there was this moment of I think, oh, maybe he's seen the light.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing new, and it all came back up for me. In other words, I was better
sure.
Not seeing him. Not
what was the? You said there's nothing new. What was the old that reappeared?
The old was, you know, I enjoy this. This works for me.
Mm-hmm. For 7 years.
Hmm.
We'll be back.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking with Dorothy in a 7-year relationship. Broke up a year ago. He jumped back in. She thought maybe there was something there. Now, Dorothy, have you listened to the program very much?
Yes.
Okay. We talk about relationships and appropriate lengths before they move into something else. Why do you think this particular relationship was just a relationship for 7 years?
Probably a piece of it was that it was long distance.
That it was long distance?
Yeah, it was long distance.
Well, you can have a long distance relationship and end up married.
That's true.
But that didn't go that way, so why not?
Probably rationalization on my part, because he was a widow.
He was a widow, and he didn't want to commit to you.
In the end, that's exactly what happened.
Did he leave, or did you say, you know, either put up or shut up?
I said put up or shut up.
Okay. And he went away?
All right.
I said put up or shut up.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, okay.
Okay. All right, now, Dorothy, now when he came back and reappeared and he showed up, you said, the phrase that caught me was you said, oh, this works for me. What is it that works for you with him?
Well, he said, this works for me.
Oh, he did? What did he mean?
He said, this works for me. And I said, that's the problem. This is not working. Me.
Okay. This half in, half out.
Just
right.
Having the long distance, you're right. There when he wants
no
you and
commitment.
Not when you're not.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
but not moving into marriage.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
exactly.
Tough.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That was it.
That's got to be tough.
And it was a blow up. It was ugly.
Mm. Well, maybe he won't come back.
Pardon me?
Maybe he won't come back.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Oh, good. Okay. So now you can truly get on down the road.
So, painfully get on down
the road.
Painfully
get down the road. That's what I'm trying to manage.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you've got to fully grieve the loss of this man and say, no way, no how, no sitting back and in the back of my mind thinking maybe he's going to become Prince Charming.
Right. That's what I'm and that's my battle in my head.
Yeah, you've got some grief work to do.
Okay.
Because the fact that you were in this for 7 years says there was enough good to kind of hold you.
Yes.
To keep you hoping and wishing that it would grow into something more. And so now it's really, you know, okay, you have the information. You know he's never going to go there.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a part of your mind that doesn't want to accept that. And that keeps you hooked in.
And you didn't just lose him. You lost 7 years there. They were meaningful. But as far as getting on with your life, you know, there might have been somebody else in those 7 years. And so now we've got to make up for some lost time. We've got to get that grieving done.
But now that you know for sure there's no open door, it will go more quickly.
Yeah.
That little crack, that little open door makes things linger. So you have to keep reminding yourself there is no way possible, no matter
how much. That's what I have to do, keep reminding myself.
Right, no matter how much good was there,
okay,
this was not meant to be for you and him. You have to move forward with that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Henry, I wish you had written the book, How to Dump a Date Not Worth
Keeping.
Well, actually, that's in there. Hey, Dorothy, I got to ask you a question.
Sure.
Where in your life did you learn to be kind of halfway satisfied with something and hope that that would turn into something that would be good enough if you tried hard enough?
I'm going to tell you something?
What?
I'm 58 years old. I had a daughter when I was 27.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I went through the same thing. And I had this epiphany because I, you know, was raising my daughter.
He and I? Who is he?
My daughter's father and I.
But that's not this guy.
No.
Okay, so now...
I'm saying the same... Basically, the same thing happened.
Right.
So maybe I learned it.
How long... Were y'all married?
No.
So he never came around either?
No.
Have you ever been married?
No.
Okay, well, let's go back before him.
I can't think of anything, honestly. Unless my, you know, my parents who were married, mm-hmm. I mean, they seemed like they had a fairly good relationship.
How did your dad treat you? Let's look at that for a second.
Like I was a princess.
Hmm.
He loved me.
Mm-hmm.
He loved me very much.
So you grew up and in a life of fully feeling satisfied and fulfilled in all of your relationships, kind of got on this path with this one guy of... He halfway showed up, and then that trained you to think there would be more, and that's where the pattern started?
I don't know if it's necessarily a pattern. And maybe it is. Maybe it is a pattern.
Well,
every relationship, you know.
Friend's a friend.
You've moved in pretty close. I mean, having a daughter with someone is moving in pretty close.
That's true.
With somebody that's not fully showing up.
Yeah.
And I guess the value that all this has, you know, talking about this is we would want you to just see that there are at least a few instances where someone has shown up and they sort of like, you know, if you were, let's say you're selling a house, okay? They show up, they do an inspection, they like it, and they say, okay, I might buy this. I think I'm going to buy this. And you say, oh, that looks good. Well, I'll let you move in. And maybe if I treat you well while you're moving in, then you'll really put the money down and then you'll really buy it. But they never really close the deal. Mm-hmm. And they never fully see you're doing everything from your side in the relationship, but they don't really ever fully do everything from their side. And so mm-hmm. maybe if you find yourself starting to get signs of that in the next relationship, that you could say, you know what, let's kind of hit pause here for a second. I see myself investing, and I don't see equal investment coming from your side. So I don't want to go forward until we figure that out. And maybe that might be the learning here.
You're right.
And perhaps if your relationship with your dad was, as you said, you're kind of expecting everybody to kind of be like your dad and love you wholeheartedly and are missing the signs that not everybody shows up to the same degree.
That's an epiphany. Okay. Yeah.
That was worth
and
the phone call.
So you're filling in the gaps for them.
Okay. That's true.
Yeah.
It's true. That's
now, what do your girlfriends say about this guy when you were dating him? Did they like him?
They liked him, but, they really did like him, but it was like, sissy, it doesn't take this long.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No.
Where's it going?
So you've got some people to
age.
Say it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't listen to them.
Well, I mean, you know, they would say it like, what direction are you going in?
Uh-huh.
Well, where is it going? Where is it leading?
Right. Okay.
It's long distance. You know he's probably dating someone else. I mean, I heard all that.
Right. Okay. So.
And my guy friend said the same thing.
Okay. Well, I hope something we've said, well, you said you had an epiphany there, so that's a good thing.
I'm
going to send you Henry's book, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, and I'm sorry about that, but I'm also going to send you Healing is a Choice to help you in that grieving process, because I really believe that's where you need to go. I want to talk with Lynn from Baltimore, Maryland.
Steve,
yes, Henry.
Can I just say one quick thing for all the single people out there?
Betcha.
Get serious about somebody when you feel like you've won the lottery, when you feel like, I can't believe that somebody is treating me this well. I can't believe they're following through like this. I can't believe that there's a person of this kind of character that sustains it over time. I'm just blown away by this. Mm-hmm. That would be the time to get invested when they've proven that over the clock running a little while, as opposed to investing when you're feeling like, I wish this person would show up as much as I am. I wish this person would commit as much as I am. I wish this person would give as much as I am, because that's not mutual. And if you're on the wrong end of an immutual relationship, it's not a good thing. If you are on the right end of a mutual relationship, you walk around with gratitude inside instead of disappointment. That's mm-hmm. the feeling you're looking for.
Yep. And you may just end up, if you do it that way, married to somebody that you think you can't believe you got to marry them. I feel like I hit the jackpot, like you said. And those are the kind of people that we need to invest in, the jackpot people. All right. Now let's go to Lynn from Baltimore, Maryland. WRBS is the station. Hi, Lynn.
How are you?
We're good. What's going on in your life today?
Good, good. Well, maybe you can help me. This issue is regarding a friendship that I have with a woman I've known for a long time.
Okay.
And I don't know. I think gossip has been a little bit of an issue for her that I've just observed being her friend, but I just sort of don't engage in it and sort of try to move on. But last year, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I felt like during that time, it was almost like she wasn't caring for me. She just wanted information.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like she used it for her own purposes to share the story with other people. And it wasn't really like her place to do that. It was my story, but I felt like she told different people and she was
Had you asked her not to?
Well, I didn't ask her not to, but I guess I sort of assumed she wouldn't.
Hmm.
Because
she might not. Maybe she, that's just kind of what she does, and she wouldn't even know she's violating anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that may be. I feel like the more that I've seen, I walked through this last year, I think it's hard for her to connect emotionally during a crisis.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's hard for her to, keep her mouth shut about people's secrets, and that is the way that she...
Too.
Well, it sounds like one of the ways that she connects, if you're saying she can't connect directly in intimate ways, that one of the ways she connects is through gossiping, as opposed to real connection. And so the learning from this, I think, would be that you need people in your life that you can really connect with and that are trustworthy to keep your confidences, and that she's probably going to be, if this is the way she is, she'll be a different kind of friend than that.
Yeah.
Not
and
one that you really trust very deeply.
That may be the case. I just feel like part of me just wants to say to her because she's just hurt me so much. And I also see how she does it to other people. And I think what made me so upset was, like, I've heard how you talk about other people, and now am I that person too?
Yeah,
you know
I guess
what I mean?
The
but
answer
she does
is
it
yes.
And like, oh, I talked to this friend who's a radiologist, and I talked to this other person who's a doctor, and I'm like, I'll talk to the doctors, like, you know what I mean? But she sort of housed it, and like, I'm just trying to help.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just don't know what to do with it, because every time I'm around her, I'm frustrated.
And you've attempted to talk with her?
I haven't. I just don't know what to say.
I think
that
you have to
understand.
Okay. Well, I think you have to express how you and she are different, and how you've kind of expected her to be like you, and you realize you haven't communicated what works for you or what you need. And one of the things would be to tell her, you know, that you like your story to remain your story.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're trying to help when you talk to the radiologist, but it's kind of an insult to me. I talk to the radiologist.
Yeah.
Or this is how you can help me.
See, so you're really being honest with her. You're taking a risk and you're being honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Lynn?
Yes.
I'll bet you a popsicle it doesn't go well. And then when she does that, you know, well, I'm just trying to be your, I can't believe that you would say, well, sorry if it feels that way, you know, just wanted to let you know. And then what I would do at that point, if she's defensive and responds that way, I would obey Proverbs. It says, do not confront a mocker, lest you incur insults upon yourself. And I just empathize and let her go and mark it down in your head that the people that you want to share with deeply, she probably can't be one of them.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Not a good idea. She's walking out the door to you yell mocker at her. Let it go. Okay?
I understand. Thank you. It's really helpful.
Right. Okay. Sorry for what you're going through. And I'm really glad that you called us. And let me send you Walking Into Walls. And I hope that that'll be a blessing to you. And we'll take a break. We'll come back with more of New Life Live right after this. It's 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. If you could help us financially, here we are. We're halfway through the month and we need your help. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to the website, newlife.com. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to Julie from Orlando, Florida. WTLN is the station. Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. What is going on in your family today?
Okay, I'm calling about my daughter.
Okay.
She's 19 years old, and I'm having a situation where she doesn't do stuff unless you ask her to. Recently, we got into an altercation, verbal altercation, because she took money out of my bag.
Mm.
And I took her cell phone from her, and she has been restricted from using the vehicle. But I wanted to find out, do you think that I'm on the right track in discipline, or what do you suggest that I do?
Okay, well, what is the problem between you and her? What's going on in her life where you've got the conflict where she would just take the money?
She feels entitled. It's only her. She feels entitled. She dropped out of school. She's not working. She's just does nothing.
Okay, and you're supporting her 100%?
Well, yes, because she still lives at home, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she still lives at home because you're supporting her.
Yes.
Right.
But, and she doesn't do any work around the house unless you demand that she does it.
That's correct.
She's not a very responsible citizen, is she?
Nope.
No.
So, Julie, what's your question? If you put it into a sentence, how can we help you?
My question would be, how do I go about showing her that she needs to be responsible for herself?
Well, I think that someone finds out, I don't know if you can show her, I think somebody finds out that they need to be responsible for themselves when being responsible for themselves gets them the things that they need. You know, you said, how do you show her that she needs? Well, right now, she does not need to be responsible for herself. That's not a true statement. For you to say to her, you need to be responsible, that's not true.
Here's some money, honey.
Obviously, she doesn't need to be responsible in order to have a place to live and sometimes a car to drive and food to eat and stuff like this. So the way that you would show her would be to stop giving her things unless she's responsible. And then she would feel the need to be responsible. Just like you and...
Well, that's why I've restricted her from the car, from the use of the car, and that's why I've taken her cell phone from her.
Yeah, well, I would do a lot more than that. I mean, my kids are only 9 and 11, and I can guarantee you there ain't no way they get to live at my house without doing chores and without performing and without helping and knowing what their list is. And, you know, I say, look, everybody's got a list here that we got to do. Somebody's got to pay the mortgage. Anybody want that one? And their hands don't go up. And I'll say, okay, I'll take that one. Now, what are you going to take? And so everybody has to contribute. And so what she's getting to do is kind of live there without contributing. Right?
Okay, I see your point.
Yeah, so when you say, are you on the right track with thinking about discipline, at least discipline, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
See, it would be different if she were appreciative and doing her part and saw it as a privilege. At 19, it's a privilege for you to be doing these things for her. It's not your obligation. And so she needs to see that as a privilege.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll lay down the law.
Well, and I think you have to go to her, Julie, and say, you know what? I realize I've made a huge error, and I'm so sorry. Out of, you know, wanting to be a good mom, I've wanted to give to you, and I realize my giving has hurt you. Because I'm not letting you be an adult. I'm not helping you grow and mature into an adult. I'm letting you remain a child. I mean, Julie, this is like stuff with I have a 14-year-old that's in high school. And this is kind of stuff at this age where you kind of try to nip it in the bud. You know, this weekend she took my mascara to her friend's house. And, you know, she got in trouble for that. She's not allowed to steal because that's stealing when you take something that isn't yours without asking. And so you nip those things when they first occur instead of, oh, well. And then all of a sudden you've got someone who's 19 who thinks everything is hers.
So I think you need to have more connecting talks, and I think you need to respond to her requests with more no's.
And give her a list of expectations. See, this could have a very positive outcome.
She may not
Julie,
know
if you said,
what
you know
do.
What? I would love to help you. I really want to help you. I really want to support you. I really want to help you get on where you want to get on in life. So here's the deal. I will do this and this and this. I'll let you use the car to go on job interviews. I'll let you do this. I'll let you do this. But now let's come up with a list of things that you have to do if you're going to live here. These are the expectations that I have from you. For you to live here, this is what I'll do in exchange for that. If that's not a good deal for you and you don't like it, you know, there's other deals out there. Mm-hmm. You can find somewhere else to live. Then maybe you have to do less chores. I don't know, but it seems like a pretty good deal around here.
Okay. Got to go to a break. I'm going to send you a Boundaries with Teens. I hope that will help. Henry, I think you made a mistake. You said your girls were 9 and 11. And there is just no way your girls are 9 and 11.
What did you think they were?
Oh, I was thinking, you know, more, I don't know, like 7 and 5.
Yeah, I know.
They grow up too fast.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back right after this for more New Life Live.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And, you know, we just had such a great outpouring of support for October, and we made it. And now November's turned into Slowvember, and we're not going to panic yet, but I sure hope and pray that some of you, here it is, moving toward the end of the year, maybe you can make that year-end gift and become a first-time giver right here at New Life. And you find out all about that and how to do it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We need your help, and you can also go to the website at newlife.com. All right.
So we need to support the Tiger Mom movement out there.
Yes. I'm thinking. Yes, that's true. That is very true.
We've had a lot of calls lately. It seems like that a lot of
children
kids out there
are taking over the world.
Yeah, children are taking over the world. The inmates have the keys to the asylum, looks like.
Yeah, we don't want that. All right, let's talk to Dusty, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Listens online. Hi, Dusty.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
You ladies and gentlemen have really been helping me over the years. I've been listening for maybe 7 years or so.
Well, thank you.
Let me just give you a little background. I've been married for 13 years. We're having a lot of marriage problems right now, so I don't feel like I have grounds for divorce. But I just don't know how I can handle this anymore.
Now, why do you need to? Why do you think you need a divorce here? Why? What's so bad that you think divorce is an option?
Well, I don't think divorce is an option because of Scripture. But I want out, and I'll tell you why. Basically, there's no emotional attachment. My wife, she's going every weekend and doing these slumber parties with her friend. We don't spend any time together anymore. A couple months ago, we stopped having date nights. You know, she won't tell me her schedule. She's very secretive. She's lost a lot of weight, maybe 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. And she didn't go to one of the Lose It for Life or anything like that.
Yeah. And so you think she's having an affair?
I don't know. I don't think so, because I found out just today, I found something in her room where she was plotting out some places to work in another city, mm-hmm. where her mom is located.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you talk to her about it?
I haven't seen her. I just found it today.
Mm. So but, there's a lot of secretive behavior going on.
Pardon me?
A lot of changes in her behavior and a lot of secretiveness.
Yeah, yeah. She's always been independent. You know, we've never had a great relationship. Probably like 4 or 5 years ago, things started to go downhill.
Mm.
But then things get better, and then things get worse, and now okay. It's just really bad. She doesn't want to even co-parent with me. If the kids do something, you know, my daughter puts something really nasty about me on Facebook, and I asked her how she felt about it, and she didn't respond. She said, I don't know. And I said, what should we do about it? And she said, I don't know.
Why didn't you tell her what to do about it? Why didn't you act on it? How old's the daughter?
She's 16.
Okay, so
I did act on it.
Okay, what'd you do?
I took her phone for a couple weeks.
Okay.
And which her phone is how she accesses Facebook and, you know, puts these posts on.
Did you talk to her about why she would want to do something like that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and she said she was having a bad day.
Bad day.
And that it really didn't have much to do with the chore that I was asking her to do.
Okay. All right. Now, tell us the question you want us to answer for you.
I want to save my marriage, but I don't know how I can deal with this. I mean, cope with it, you know? I mean, it seems like my whole family is against me. It's me and them. You know, she's friends with the kids, and so, you know, they do everything together, and I'm just left out of the picture.
What do you mean they do everything together? They go on the slumber parties with her?
No, they don't do that, but they go to they go out to eat, or, you know, they go shopping, or
why aren't
you
doing that with
they're
them?
Always in her room.
Why aren't you taking them out to eat with you?
I do, but I don't know when she's going to take them out to eat or do whatever, and so I'm not usually there. But I do take them out individually when they let me. The 18-year-old, he's not interested anymore. But the other two, I do.
So you have an 18-year-old son, a 16-year-old daughter, and what else?
And a 12-year-old son. The 12-year-old son is my biological child.
Okay.
How's it going with him? Since they were 1 and 3.
Okay. How's it going with your 12-year-old?
Good, good. You know, I mean, he still kind of prefers her, but basically, you know, he does what I ask him to do, and he still respects me and loves me.
Have you thought about getting some counseling?
Oh yes, we went through marriage counseling like 4 or 5 times. And this past time, we went to counseling for 6 months. Christian counselor. And basically, my wife just said, I'm not interested in working on the relationship anymore. So this counseling is over. And then she said, I'm thinking about leaving you. And then today I found, you know, indications where she's making plans.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and Dusty, it sounds like this isn't a first marriage for her?
It is a first marriage for
it
her.
It is, but
she's not a first relationship.
Okay, so she has kids.
When she was, you know.
Because I'm hearing, you know, she's kind of connecting with the kids because she's kind of acting their age.
That's
In a lot of ways, right?
That's right.
And so, and you're having to be the heavy, so you're no fun.
That's right.
Right.
You know, and I've tried to change that.
But
In some ways, you know.
There does need to be a parent at home.
Yes.
It's just unfortunate when you have to feel like the parent to your spouse, because that usually never works.
Yes, yes.
Right? Yes. But she is showing you all the signs of someone who is leaving and is moving on. And so I do think that needs to be confronted.
Well, I mean, you know, the last time I talked to her in August, where she said she was leaving, you know, she didn't have a plan. She didn't tell me when or if, you know, she just was thinking about it.
And that's the last time. This is November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the last time y'all talked about this?
We, I talked to her on a regular basis about our relationship and that we needed to spend time together, and she just kind of blows me off and says whatever. And I'm going through the love dare, and I'm on day 31, so every day I'm doing something for her or talking to her, but as far as asking her, when are you leaving?
Why don't you ask her this? It looks like to me that there are a lot of signs that you are still on track to leave, that you want to get out of the marriage and leave. Why don't we start talking about what that means for our kids and what your plans are when it comes to the kids and where you're going to live?
Okay.
Don't you think that would be important to know what her thinking is on that?
Yeah, I just don't think she's going to really answer. I think she's
going to tell you she doesn't have a plan, but her vagueness speaks volumes.
Right.
So yeah. The plan is she's going to be vague with you until she gets everything set up, and she's inching her way out of the marriage.
Yeah.
So you can wait for that to happen and hope it's not true, or you can kind of head it off at the pass, and I would even ask her about having an affair.
I did, and she denied it. She said... These weekends are just with this woman at work, and that it means nothing.
All right.
Okay. Well, I think you have some hard decisions to make, because as much as you want the marriage to stay, to allow it and to take kind of a passive role just waiting for her to destroy it, I don't think will save the marriage.
Oh,
and
no.
I think you need to talk about the kids. I think you need to talk to her about the kids.
And in the discussions with her, you know, just like Jill and Steve said, you know, be frank. Mm-hmm. Say, look, obviously you're not connecting with me. It looks like you want out of here. And if you're going to do that, just let's get it on the table and get a real plan of how to do that and deal with her that way. But then I would, if I were you, I would go work on my relationship with the kids.
Yeah.
And just try to connect with them.
Yeah.
And just establish an attachment with them, because that's what you're going to need, you know, and they're going to need to go forward.
And when you hit a stalemate with them, or you think that you're not moving close enough to them soon enough, that's when you get some counseling for yourself, not about the marriage, but about how do I connect with people? How do I connect with my kids better? Help me see myself. Maybe some things that I don't see in myself might be a helpful thing. Okay? All right.
You.
I'm glad you called us.
Sorry.
Yeah, really, really sorry
situation.
About that. All right. Going to send you walking into walls. I think there's some that can help you.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that's 1-800-639-5433, and tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we are back. And let's talk with Andrea from Raleigh, North Carolina. Listens on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hi, Andrea. Andrea? You there? Are you there? Hello? All right. Let's go to Joyce from Crete, New England, Nebraska. KMMJ. Hello, Joyce.
Oh.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I could be better.
Okay, what happened?
I love listening to your program. I listen almost every day.
Thank you.
It's a big help to me.
Thank you.
Here's my problem.
Okay.
And I don't want to go into a long distance of it because it takes up too much of your time. But I have a stepchild who is in her 50s, came into my life 5-6 years ago. My husband had a child in high school. The girl made the decision to give this child up. My husband didn't agree. They tried to get her. And we had no contact with her until 6 years ago. And I am at my wit's end because my husband and I do not agree on it.
Mm.
I feel very left out and of the two of them, and he is elated to have her in his life.
You feel very left out, what?
I don't know where to go.
What did you say, Joyce? You feel very left out of what?
I didn't hear what you said.
So you're saying that you feel really left out with the two of them? He's excited to be reunited with her?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. How did you feel left out? I was trying to understand that.
Well, the two of them have connected well.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I do nothing but fight and argue anytime her name is brought up. She doesn't want me included in things. He wants me to be the perfect stepmother, but he doesn't agree with anything that I feel about her. And I don't, you know.
Well, what is it you feel about her?
What?
What is it that you feel about her? Why do you guys fight?
She doesn't want me to be a part of the two of them, but he wants me, from the time she came in, he wanted me to be her mother, like a mother to her.
Right, but she doesn't want that.
But she's in her 50s.
But she doesn't want that, right?
That's right.
So he wants something that she doesn't want.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just going by what you told us. You said he wants you to be a mother to her, but she doesn't want you.
He wants it to be a perfect family relationship.
Right.
It has been downhill from the day.
Joyce, I'm trying to ask you something here. He wants you to be the stepmother and be involved, correct?
Sometimes.
And she
wants her to himself, but he says he wants me to be.
So
but the two of them really don't want me included in their life. They really don't.
Well, do you want to be?
I just don't want this constant fighting. We have been so close to. I've left. He's left. We've tried everything, and we just fight continuously about this dog.
I'm trying to find out what the fight is actually about.
And have you guys been married a long time, and do you have your own children?
Over 50 years, and we have 2 children out of the house.
Okay.
We have grandchildren, a great-grandchild.
Okay, so you've had a long life together, and then this girl comes in.
Yes.
And
is it going well with your other children?
It has become a real problem with the whole family.
No, I mean prior to this, the two of you have good relationships with your adult children?
Yes. My husband had an affair on me when we were married 7 years, which has played a big havoc in this, because I have had a hard time trusting him, because he's the kind of person that likes to flirt with women. And so, I have a big problem with that. I guess I'm jealous, and I'm trying my very best to not be. And I guess now I am probably jealous of, I get left out, so I feel jealous of his daughter.
Sure.
Well, yeah, Joyce, I mean, having had that experience, and then this isn't a child coming back into his life. This is a 50-year-old woman. So I can see, even though it's a father-daughter situation, and the newness and the repairing what was lost is very exciting to them, for you, it's like another woman has stepped into the middle of your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's like.
Right.
It is exactly like that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that they probably don't understand that, that hurt that you have.
They've been told this enough times.
And their response...
You know, I have explained how I feel about it.
And their response is what?
I don't know what to do. You know,
Joyce,
I don't even,
what is their...
Sometimes I don't
what
even
is
want
their
to be here anymore, but
Joyce?
I know, because I am a Christian. My husband is
Joyce,
a Christian.
Joyce, we want to help you, honey. So listen to Henry for a second.
Okay.
What is their response to you when you tell them that you mm-hmm. feel left out?
Well, they tell me I have no reason. But in August the 28th, his daughter called and said she just wanted her dad.
Mm-hmm.
She just wants to talk to her dad by herself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very hard because I've always been included in my husband's life ever since this affair.
Right, Joyce.
And we worked...
Go ahead.
We worked 50 years together, and I have such a hard time because they always want to talk about her mother.
Okay.
Which...
All right,
I just have a hard time with all these things. And
we're
going
to try to sum up with you here because we are plumb out of time. Henry,
right.
Help her in this in some way.
Yeah, Joyce, I think probably the best, you know, we're out of time. And I think it'd probably be really good for, I don't know if y'all have tried this, but the two of you go talk to a good marriage counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we've done that. In fact, okay. I'm going to one tonight again.
All right,
good.
That'd be a great idea.
Good. Joyce, excuse me, Henry, for you, there needs to be some separating out of this is not an affair situation, even though it feels like it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
very hurtful. They're not in a place to see your hurt because they're caught up in recreating a fantasy.
Yeah.
And it is normal. You know, for someone to, after so many years, finally find their biological mm-hmm. parent and want to connect with them and want to connect with them alone. That's not in and mm-hmm. of itself an abnormal or bad thing.
No.
But it triggers stuff in you.
Yeah.
And then the two of you get sideways on that. And I think part of the resolution is part of you is going to have to accept that this doesn't really, you know, it doesn't have to do with you in a certain way. It was before he ever met you. And this is a father and a daughter reconnecting. And that he has multiple roles in his life. He's got a daughter from way back, and he's got a wife. And so y'all are going to have to work out enough space on the page for everybody to have the different kind of relationships that they have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm glad that you called, and I'm going to send you a copy of Boundaries. I hope that that might help you in some way. And all of you out there, if you could help us to, as we come to this halfway point here in November, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. And my thanks to Henry and Jill, and thanks to all of you who do support us. We really do love you and appreciate you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE
or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.